This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, so yesterday at about this time, we were coming off a press conference with Bill O'Brien where the overriding theme was, well, we'll let Coach O'Brien lay out the overriding theme.
Cal McNair said it all in his statement the other day. He did a thorough evaluation of the football operation. I'm not saying that he did it by himself, but he did a thorough evaluation of the football operation, and that included me. He was very clear with me on what we needed to do to continue to grow as an organization, as a football team.
And that was the answer to about 60 to 70% of the
questions.
Yeah,
I think, B-Mac, if we go to that again, which I think we probably will, just give us the very first few seconds about Cal McNair's statement, right? That says it all.
Yeah. Cal McNair said it all in his statement the other day. He did a thorough evaluation of the football operation.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Even less than that.
Right, right.
Cal McNair said it all in his statement.
So Coach O'Brien met with the media today. Needless to say, yeah. The general manager position was not really discussed.
And it's today. Not been filled yet, Sean.
It's not been filled yet. And Rich, the longer this goes, I don't know. Let me ask you how you feel. Because I just told John and Landry in the toss there. I truly feel this. The longer that this goes, with every minute that passes by,
yes.
The percentage chance of Nick Caserio coming here diminishes by 0.01%.
We are in like, today.
It is a dwindling yeah. hourglass of sand.
We are a little half more than halfway through day five of the general manager search for the Texans, and still nothing, not even an indication. I mean, we've seen two guys come in and interview over the weekend. We've seen Nick Caserio universally proclaimed as their top candidate. We know they've asked for permission, and then nothing. And so we're certainly waiting, and I totally agree with you that the longer this drags out, whether it's Caserio and whether it's the Patriots just not responding, to the request, which is a very Belichickian thing.
Ignoring your mail?
It would be a very Belichickian thing. I could see Bill Belichick.
Sending him to voicemail the whole time?
No, sitting.
Ignore.
Sitting at team headquarters, where is that, in Foxborough?
Yeah.
And thinking to himself, yeah, right. He might not have the title general manager, but he poses with the GMs every year at the owners meeting.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way we even have to grant them anything.
Yeah.
He's our guy.
They'll cobble an argument together. And who knows, Rich, if it gets to a point, honestly, if it gets to a point where it's up to the league to decide this thing, that would be a win for the Texans right now.
Because, it would be a win for team content, I'll tell you that.
Of course it would be. The longer this thing goes on, the more it's a win for team content.
You got to understand, people, this is normally the time of year where we're wondering, okay, what the hell are we going to talk about today?
No, if Brian Gain didn't get fired, we would have actually been breaking down the Bieber versus Tom Cruise fight.
Well, and I'll follow that up by saying, look, we've gotten through it. We always do find something to, inform and entertain. We have fun doing this show year-round. But boy, it's been served up on a silver platter this month.
Yeah, so what I was saying was that if they get to a point where the league is having to somehow interject themselves to make a determination as to exactly what Caserio's job function entails in New England, Rich, right now, if you're someone who wants Nick Caserio, that's a win right now. Like, how I feel right now is that Caserio's not coming, whether it's because he has a change of heart because his roots are in Boston, whether it's because the Patriots make an offer he can't refuse. I feel like there's a better chance he's not coming here. If it reaches a point where the league needs to step in and make some sort of determination on this,
they're going to stick it to the Pats.
Well, no. that means that Caserio actually wants to come here.
Yes, it does, but it certainly doesn't guarantee, at least on the surface, that the league will grant the Texans' request.
It doesn't, but I'm more worried about Caserio wanting to come here at this
point. Right, but where I was going with your hypothetical, Sean, is that the, aren't the Patriots the franchise that's probably the least likely among the 32 when it comes to an interpretative ruling by the commissioner, when the league is asked to read between the lines and try to determine intent. In other words, because he's not called the general manager, is he in a high level enough position within the organization that the Texans need the Patriots' permission? I'll be honest with you, I think the past history between the Patriots and the league is not good, and it would not surprise me if the league ruled against the Patriots, because I think the league is a little sour on the Patriots in recent years.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to think that the commissioner is not going to show bias against an organization. Right. If there's a hard and fast rule, but he's just interpreting the rule.
But it's not a hard and fast. We're talking about a subjective ruling that would be necessary to determine whether or not what they call him and what he does qualifies as a position for which the Texans must attain permission. That's an interpretation. Yeah. That's a subjective answer to a question. And I just feel like in a subjective situation, the Pats haven't made any brownie points with the NFL.
They probably haven't. I guess that would be a secondary reason to feel good if it were something I could go wager on, Rich. Like, the league is going to rule on this. What do you think the ruling's going to be? If I were handicapping it, I would mostly be excited as a Texan fan that clearly if it gets to that point, it means Nick Caserio wants to come here.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean? That's the part that to me is that's the hardest hurdle to overcome right now. It's not the ruling by the league. I get what you're saying, and I know it's like 20% tongue-in-cheek that the league hates the Patriots
and
whatnot.
Right.
But the biggest hurdle the Texans have to overcome right now, in my mind, is the Patriots doing something or Nick Caserio having a change of heart to where he just doesn't want to come here
anymore. Right, you're right. We can keep hope alive until we hear from Nick Caserio that he's taken himself out of the running for the, you know, in consideration for that job. I agree with that, but ultimately, this whole permission thing certainly has to be resolved before anything can get done moving forward. But it's something hanging over the sports conversation in this town, and it's not insignificant.
No, I actually had a chance last night, Rich. You and I both had a chance to listen to Bill O'Brien's press conference yesterday because we were driving back here from minicamp while it was going on, while we were playing it here on Sports Radio 610. I had a chance last night to go watch the video of it online, go watch excerpts of it, I watched as much of it as I could. I knew the answers already, so I didn't spend time watching the whole thing. I just wanted to see what O'Brien's body language looked like. Because I'll tell you, the audio-wise, he sounded like a bit of a beaten man. He sounded humbled in that press conference. And so in going back and watching it now, I think the body language certainly matches the auditory part of the press conference. And I guess just to throw a scenario out there, see what you think of this. Because he did not look like a man who has quote-unquote power in that video. I think the general assumption was, when this news came down on our show on Friday last week, was, wow, Bill O'Brien survived another general manager.
Yeah.
Boy, he must really be gaining power inside the building over there. The one thing we do know is that Cal McNair took a hard look at the organization, that Jack Easterby was a part of helping facilitate that hard look at the organization. We really don't know what O'Brien's role was in that whole thing. And I thought Seth brought up an interesting scenario on Mad Radio this morning to where, what if Cal McNair took a good hard look at the organization, decided that both the general manager and the head coach were positions where we were falling short at in terms of our championship quest.
Right.
But you're in June, and obviously the only one of those two that you can fire in June would be the general manager. However you feel about Bill O'Brien as a head coach, he's a good enough head coach to where if you fired him in June, you'd be punting on the 2019 season.
No doubt about it.
So under that scenario, O'Brien is heading into 2019 with as much pressure on him as Brian Gain had right before he lost his job. Does that seem like a reasonable scenario?
It does seem like a reasonable scenario, and the more we talk about this and flesh this thing out, the more we start to consider maybe things we hadn't previously when it comes to this whole dynamic. Sean, I know it's in the rundown, and we'll get to it, and I forwarded you the link earlier today, but you know, you and I both graded this job a couple of days ago.
Right.
And I think mine was like an A minus, yours was like a B plus.
Right.
In terms of how attractive is the general manager job with the Texans for a guy like Nick Caserio or any other viable candidate that might wish to have the job. And we both concluded it's a pretty darn, if not very attractive job. This Bleacher Report post by Mike Tanier basically lays out all the reasons that it might not be as good a job as you and I thought it was a couple of days ago. This is as scathing an outline or description of what's going on within the Texans organization, granted by an outsider, But what's going on with some of the key points that we discuss every day with regard to this organization, and not only how the Texans are failing in a number of these areas, but how, as long as I think the assertion here is that as long as O'Brien is the head coach, he is likely to retain final roster control, and he is likely to not get along with whatever general manager they put in that chair.
According to that article.
Yes.
Yeah,
according to that article. It strongly suggested that look, he's on his third GM. How many head coaches even get to work with three GMs, especially in a six-year span?
Well, and that's the reason I bring up the scenario I did, Rich, because under the scenario I just posed, and I guess I'm kind of gravy training off of Seth's scenario from this morning, but it seems largely reasonable that under that scenario, O'Brien isn't necessarily surviving to a third GM as if he's got his chest pumped out and he's calling the shots there. He's surviving to a third GM because it's June, 2 months before a preseason is supposed to start for a very pivotal season and the third year of Deshaun Watson here in Houston. You know, to where under that scenario, if maybe Cal McNair looked at Bill O'Brien, evaluated him, and said, because O'Brien just said in that cut at the beginning of his press conference yesterday that Cal evaluated everything, including me.
Right.
And so it could very well be that he evaluated him and he got a grade that was in the neighborhood of Brian Gaines' grade, but it's June.
Ian Rappaport told the guys in the loop just a short time ago here on these airwaves that among the things he's hearing about what's going on with this situation is that O'Brien was disappointed in the process that Gain instituted, in particular with regard to scouting and finding players, pro personnel, things like that, that he preferred a more Patriots way of doing things. This is Ian Rappaport's words.
Yeah.
That he preferred a more Patriots way of doing things than Gain was implementing.
Well, he also went on to say, Rappaport did, that he essentially said, if Caserio doesn't come, Monty Ossenfort's the favorite. And he's my favorite on the big board. Right? The Penderlord Sportsbook has Monty Ossenfort, the Patriots director of scouting, as a minus 250 favorite for this job.
Which presumably would satisfy the O'Brien demand, requirement, wish, that things be run in a more Patriot way in this front office.
I think if you went into it wanting it to be run a more Patriot way, Rich, you look at it, O'Brien may have looked at it and said, you know what, Caserio's my guy, but Ossenfort will probably do things better than I think Brian Gain is doing things.
It's not far-fetched.
And they can't block both of them.
Right.
You can't, the league can't make their whole front office GMs and say you can't talk to any of these people. There can only be one. So, all right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.